Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Actually, a different edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you so much. It's May 9th, 2014. You're truly Ron Kelly. Back in the air chair, Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. sharp, as always. And we thank everybody so much for tuning in to the program. Really appreciate it. The phone number here is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. If you'd like to chime in on whatever I'm talking about today. You can also log into the chat room as well, which many of you do. Thank you for doing that as well. And when you get in there, ask a question or say something when you get in there in the chat room. And the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page is just that. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Well, you can go over there and you can post a comment or question. Nearly 5,000 likes on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the program. We really, 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 really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Just a couple minutes past the hour. Dreary day out here on the East Coast. Expecting some great weather this weekend. Mother's Day weekend, incidentally. It's Mother's Day weekend. It's going to be in the 80s over the weekend, so it's going to be a nice day, you know, for mom. All right, so let's move on with the program. This is the Ron Kelly Show, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com. And, you know, I got to say this, and I have a lot of respect for the folks who 9/11, the folks who lost family members in 9/11. I have a great deal of respect for them and sympathy as well, because that was a horrible day in our history. You know, when they showed those airliners crashing into the building, just a horrific scene. And you know, everybody on those planes died as well, as well as thousands of folks who were inside the buildings at the time. And just horrific scenes. Many of them they didn't show. Some of them you had to see through other means, of people actually leaping off to top of the World Trade Center, because the building was hit in the middle, and there was just no way to get down because jet fuel and everything else was, the building was an inferno. And there were people who were actually holding hands and leaping off the top of the building. Just a horrific, horrific, horrific day in American history. And I sympathize with the folks who lost family members, who had to watch that, knowing that their family member, wives, husbands, brothers, sisters, cousins, grandparents, whatever the case may be, perished in that building. But you know, every now and then you hear about the family members protesting and I don't want to say interfering, but being getting in the way of what the 9/11 Commission and the World Trade Center people are trying to do. And you know, I'm wondering why this keeps happening, and why the family members continue to stand in the way, so to speak, of the of what they're trying to do with the World Trade Center. Now, everybody's not going to be happy. You know, everybody's not going to be happy. There are people who died on that day who will never be identified, ever. And that's just the long and the short of it. And I don't mean to sound uncaring or anything like that, because I care a lot. Because I remember what I was doing that day, and I remember looking over to the downtown Manhattan and watching the buildings burn and then eventually both collapse. And, you know, thousands of conspiracy theories about what actually happened. But anyway, the family member, you would think that they may want to move on. And believe me, I say this with all sincerity. You think they would want to move on because of what has happened. And that the family members died. But they just, you just keep hearing it. You keep hearing about people or the family members of the people who died fighting with the 9/11 Commission and the people who have been charged with rebuilding the building and building a memorial, et cetera, et cetera. And I just ask myself, like, what do they want? What do they want? I personally would be trying to put the thing behind me if it was me. You know, if I had lost a family member in 9/11. Because no matter what the commission does, no matter whether they build a museum, they don't build a museum, they put the remains there, they don't put the remains there, it's not going to bring those family members back. It's not going to bring them back. And every time you turn around, you're hearing the members of the family of those who died saying that they're being disrespected, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, I just don't kind of get it. I just don't get it. Who's the goddess ape? Who's the godless ape? The godless ape is in the chat room. I wonder who that is. The godless ape. Anyway, I just don't understand why the people or the members of the family members of the people who were killed, why they keep protesting and objecting to everything that's being done. I think the 9/11 Commission and the folks who rebuilt this World Trade Center have bent over backwards trying to please the family members of the people who passed away during 9/11. And every time you turn around, there's another problem, another problem, another problem. And, you know, I would like to see this project get finished because it's right across the river from me here in the New York metropolitan area. And I'd like to go over there and pay my respects to the folks who passed on that day as well. But every time you turn around, the family members are objecting to this, objecting to that, objecting to the other. And I just want to know, what do they want? You know, what do the family members want? Why do they keep objecting to everything? It's beyond me. You know, and the fact that, and I'm sure that all of this stuff stirs up memories of family members, of the folks who died that day. And I personally would just probably be ready to move on. I don't know if I'd want to be reliving the pain of what happened that day nearly 13 years ago. I don't know if I'd want to keep reliving the pain of that. And I think that every time the family members get together and protest or object to something, I think you bring it up, you relive the memory of what happened. You relive the memory of that day, which was a horrific day in the history of America, the first foreign attack on the United States, well, second, because the first one was Pearl Harbor. But this was the first terrorist attack visited upon the United States by others. So I think that the people should be ready to move on. Let the 9/11 Commission do what they need to do. Let's move on. Let's move on. And because, again, it was 13 years ago. Nothing's going to bring those people back. There's no way they're ever going to identify the remains because it's all mixed together, burned, all kinds of stuff. Some of them you can't get DNA from because of the damage to the cellular matter that was left over. I mean, let's just move on. Enough of the complaining and objecting, because you got hundreds of people here and not everybody's going to be satisfied. So let's move on. I don't understand why the people who lost loved ones on that day continue to object to everything that the Port Authority, the 9/11 Commission, et cetera, et cetera. They object to everything that they say. And I find that to be counterproductive. We need to move on. We need to get the project finished so folks from, you know, across the country and around the world can go to the 9/11 Memorial and pay respect to the folks who died on that day. Shout out to my still a friend, Lamont Gates, who I used to do the program with, Real Talk Live. Shout out to Lamont. You know, no hard feelings. Lamont and I no longer do Real Talk Live. Ron Kelly, Lamont Gates. We don't do the program anymore. We decided not to do it. But, you know, shout out to him. I mean, you know, no hard feelings. Shout out to Lamont. His program is Real Social Talk right here on I'll shout him out at Real Social Talk, show you how gracious I am. Real Social Talk right here on blogtalkradio.com. You can check Lamont out. I believe he's still doing his radio show. So, you know, check him out and tell him, you know, Ron Kelly sent you. And believe it or not, I also do a relationship show. It's Wednesday after, and Wednesday evening, actually. Excuse me, from 8 to 9. It's the Princess and the Bad Boy talk radio show featuring yours truly. And Princess Love Mills, along with our clinical psychologist, Dr. Susanna Flores, who is the author of Face Hooked, by the way. Great book coming out this month. And some of you don't know your Face Hooked, but I'm gonna figure out a way to tell you when the book comes out. We'll do a program on it. So check me out. It's Wednesday night, 8 p.m., the Princess and the Bad Boy Talk Radio Show. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, Princess Love Mills, and clinical psychologist Dr. Susanna Flores. It's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio .com. Boy, did you see Johnny Manziel last night? I watched it. You know, I don't do the sports thing, but you know, I'm an avid football fan. And did you watch Johnny Manziel last night being passed over by team after team after team? 21 teams in all passed over Johnny Manziel. You can see the frustration growing on his face. I think Don Imus, who I respect, Don Imus said this morning that Johnny Manziel drank more water than the New York City Marathon. Something like that, he said. And you can see that Johnny Manziel was getting more and more frustrated being passed over. Congratulations to everyone who was chosen last night, the 32 folks, including number one picks, Jadeveon Clowney, who's Texans are very, very lucky to get that guy because he's a beast. He's a beast. You know, and they say, you hear commentators, mostly white ones, and, you know, again, this is not a white-black show, but you hear them say, use the word freakish when it comes to the abilities of the African-American athlete. Freakish. Freakish. Meaning that Clowney at 6'6 and 260 should move the way he moves. Yes, he should. Yes, he should. Because, you know, African-Americans have always been more athletically inclined than any other ethnic group, period. You see it in basketball, football, the circus catches and the acrobatics and the, you know, some of the things you see that seem impossible are routine in the black community because this is what we do. So they use that word freakish because they don't really understand how somebody, for example, the size of Jadeveon Clowney, how he could do the things he does. And some of the other athletes, LeBron James and some of the other basketball, Richard Sherman, and some of the other people who do things that are unbelievable to most people. But black people are, and I'm not saying we're better than anybody else. I'm not saying that at all. But black people, black athletes have always been more, have a great deal more athleticism than any other ethnic group. And, you know, and it's the body language. It's the, you know, it's hard to describe, but, you know, when you watch an African-American athlete, you see all the parts moving at once. It's like, It's like a symphony, the way some of the athletes move when they're on the football field or on the basketball court, it's like, you know, unbelievable to most people. But this is something that happens all the time in the black community. Because, again, black people are inherently, black folks are inherently more athletic than any other race. Now, you look at the draft from last night, all first rounders, I think there were seven African-Americans were chosen in the first round, six or seven. More than 50% were African-Americans chosen in the first round. And again, this is not a black show. We don't advocate, black, this is not an activist type of program. This program is for everybody. And, this is the way it is. You remember Jimmy the Greek years ago? Jimmy the Greek said that black athletes are have more athleticism than white athletes because of the jungles we had to run through and swing from ropes. And, he was fired for that. So even back then, and the funny thing about it is I don't think that Jimmy the Greek Snyder really meant anything by what he said. I don't think that Jimmy the Greek meant to slant anybody. He was just stating what he thought. And you know what? In a lot of ways, he was right. In a lot of ways, Jimmy the Greek was right, because African Americans, we did originate in Africa. And you had to be pretty athletic to stay out of the jaws of a lion or a tiger. You had to be pretty good climbing trees and what have you. So that has been passed down to us in our lineage. It has been passed down to us, where African Americans are more athletic, have a great deal more athleticism than any other ethnic group. So Jimmy the Greek wasn't, and this is back in the 70s, Jimmy the Greek wasn't all that wrong. What he said was he said it wrong, but he wasn't wrong. And although we've been out of the jungle for hundreds of years, that athleticism that's been passed down to us from our ancestors will never go away. So that's why you see the clownies, somebody 6'6", 260 pounds, running like a sprinter across the field. So this is the way it is. So, I don't knock Jimmy the Greek. Jimmy the Greek, never saw Jimmy the Greek again after that statement he made. Howard Cosell once referred to a punt returner as a little monkey. Oh, now Howard Stern didn't get fired. Howard Cosell didn't get fired now. Howard Cosell didn't get fired. But he was, because Howard Cosell was the man back in the day, sports-wise. Howard Cosell was the man. And Howard Cosell and his relationship with Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali made Howard Cosell in a lot of ways. Muhammad Ali made Howard Cosell. Because that relationship and that, Muhammad Ali was friends with Howard Cosell. And Howard Cosell had access to Muhammad Ali. And that was worth its weight in gold when Muhammad Ali was on top of his game. And Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali would joke around and do interviews all the time. That was valuable. So Howard Cosell wasn't going nowhere when he called that running back, called that punt returner a little monkey. He wasn't going anywhere, because of his relationship with Muhammad Ali. But getting back to Johnny Manziel, though, I almost felt bad for him. Because Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, Johnny this, Johnny that. See, this is what happens. And you see what, now Johnny Manziel, that was the perfect example of someone who thinks more highly of themselves than other people do, than the people that matter to. And Johnny Manziel sat there, pick after pick, people I'd never even heard of, people I didn't even know existed. This guy, Johnny Manziel, was the biggest thing in the college football. And unknown after unknown, people who didn't have nearly as, not even close to the notoriety he had, were getting chosen, and they were getting passed over. So finally, in the 22nd pick, now, Johnny Manziel was, in the beginning, Johnny Manziel was supposed to be in the top five, getting picked, but he dropped all the way down to 22 before somebody picked him up. The Cleveland Browns picked him up. They traded up to get him. Yeah. So, is Johnny Manziel good enough to play in the NFL? Sure, probably is, but Johnny Manziel is going to put butts in the seats, and he's going to bring the media and everything else to Cleveland. And when the preseason starts, and they're going to be all over him. And the first time that the quarterback they have now throws an interception, they'll be looking for Johnny Manziel, chanting his name. Anyway, what we'll do, I'm doing a sports thing right now. I just want to point that out to you guys. Anyway, we'll take a break, and we'll come right back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything. At a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com and on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, it's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Friday afternoon. It's May the 9th, 2014. Mother's Day weekend coming up. So the florists and the candy people are, moving around in a frenzy trying to get everything together. And you know, in the hood, you're going to see people selling Mother's Day gifts, cheap Mother's Day gifts, which I would never give my mother. And, you know, see, that's the thing about African-Americans. Let me just speak to our people for a second. You know, we are hustlers. Many of us are hustlers. And in the hood, you know, Newark, Detroit, Philly, L.A., you know, in the black neighborhoods. You're going to see people selling Mother's Day gifts. Those cheap baskets and stuff with hardly anything in them. You're going to see that a lot. You know, Easter comes. You'll see people selling Easter baskets. Valentine's Day. You'll see many of us selling Valentine's Day items. And see, that's not to say that nobody else does it. Everybody else does it. You know, the Koreans sell hair care products. I mean, go figure. They don't need it, but they make a fortune off of it. But see, the thing about, we have those pop-up businesses, African-Americans. We have a pop-up business. We pop up out of nowhere. You know, we will rent a truck, for example. Many of us, not all of us, some of us black Americans are very enterprising, and many of us are just hustlers. Rent a truck, you know, Ryder or, you know, Penske, whatever, and put a bunch of cheap Mother's Day gifts and sell them on the street. See, that's a hustle. That's not a business. It's a hustle. You don't have a license to do it. Many don't. And it's a hustle. And I'm not kicking my people's back in now. You know, I'm just stating a fact. That's a hustle. And this weekend, you're going to see people on the street selling baskets, Mother's Day baskets, which I would never give my mother something like that. Hey, shout out to the people who do. And you're going to see that. But see, those are hustlers. See, we hustle. We don't, you know, we don't think about tomorrow, many of us. We hustle. You know, I'm going to make my money. It's Mother's Day. I'm going to sell a bunch of cheap Mother's Day baskets. But that's it, though, until the next holiday. Easter's already over. Mother's Day. So there won't be any other holidays in regards to where you have to buy anything. But this is what happens, because this is what we do. We hustle. You know, we hustle. And many of us don't conduct business the way we should. And you wonder why, like African-Americans won't do business with other African-Americans. Many times the prices are insane. That's number one. And then sometimes the service is bad. You know, I go to restaurants a lot. And, you know, when I go to the restaurant, for example, many times they run out of stuff. I mean, when you go into the black restaurant, they run out of stuff. And I'm just keeping it 100 with you. See, because people get on the radio and forget about what's going on in our community. And many of us are hustlers. And there's plenty of black folks who will tell you that they won't patronize a black business. They rather go to the white man because they feel like they'll get a better deal. They feel like the job will get done, and that they'll be able to come back if there's a problem. You know, like me personally, like my cars, I don't take my cars anywhere near any street shop. I always take them to the dealer. Why? Because they built the car. They know what's wrong with it, and they don't have to take it apart in order to fix it. They can be specific. But yeah, you'll find many people, whether they want to admit it or not, you'll find many African-Americans who won't shop, who won't do business with black folks, just refuse to do business. And see, and for us, we have to learn how to do business the right way. I mean, if you're collecting scrap, don't, you know, have some, you know, badly spelled words written on the side of your truck. You take a few dollars and have somebody paint it on. Even Sanford and Son had a name painted on the side of the truck. And many times we'll do that. We'll make a sign, just unprofessional. And you wonder why nobody wants to, you know, unless they're desperate, you wonder why nobody wants to patronize your business. A business has to look like a business. It has to be clean, has to be organized, orderly. was it met with a, you know, with a little enthusiasm, like you really want this person's business, the customer service should be, because we forget about that stuff. Like I said, hustlers. So, you know, you'll see this weekend, you'll see rental trucks all over the place, in the black community especially. Other ethnic groups do it too. I'm not saying that they don't. You'll see them. You'll see the Arabs. You'll see the Asians. You know. But many of those same people have established businesses inside buildings. And contrary to that, many of us don't. So we need to get our act together. You know, I really didn't mean to discuss this, but it just came to me that we should get ourselves together and conduct business the way business should be conducted, and maybe we'll get more business. You know. So I don't want to. People are going to start texting me in a minute. So yeah, so that's it. Let's conduct business, do business like business people should. Maybe we'll get more business. I mean, we're about half past the show. It's the Ron Kelly Show right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's me and you right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's 4 p.m. Friday afternoon, the Ron Kelly show. You know, no more talk about the plane. No one's talking about the plane anymore. The flight Malaysia Air Flight 370. Nobody's talking about the plane. I guess they've written it off. Saying, oh, well, can't find it. Well, they wore the story out, talking to every person who ever not just flew a plane, but got on one. The people who washed them. The people who, you know, put the food in the refrigerators on a plane. They talk to everybody. And the story is dead now. Nobody's talking about it. Malaysian Air Flight 370. No one's talking about it. Nobody. You don't even see it on television anymore. Radio, nothing. Because I think that people have, you know, it's just it's the way of the world. Move on to the next story. Hey, sorry it happened. Move on. The Malaysian, the higher-ups at the Malaysian Air lines are already, you know, putting together compensatory packages for the people who had relatives on the plane. They're going to just pay them all off. The ones that don't sue them, they're going to pay them all off. So this plane story, I think people are actually, the authorities included, are actually just giving up on the plane, giving up on ever finding the plane. And for those who care, the conspiracy theories are still out there in regards to what actually happened to it. Oh, it's, you know, because there's lots of places that plane could have landed before it ran out of fuel. Plenty of places in that area. And people have just given up, like, oh, well. And there were a lot of people on that plane. There was, you know, there were a couple of hundred people on that plane. And you haven't heard a word about it, not a word. People, I guess, they just given up. Now, again, as I said earlier, they're paying the people off. Kicked them out of the hotel. Said, look, go home. You know, in other words, we're not going to pay for the hotel anymore. There was a lot of people in those hotels. No. Just a tragedy. For people, if they did pass, just a tragedy. All over the world, there's things going on. And the young schoolgirls kidnapped, the 300 or so schoolgirls kidnapped by that militia group. That's even the nobody wants to even be associated with them. Because other groups are coming out saying that's something we never would have done. So you really got the pot calling the kettle black now. But yeah, this group in Nigeria is actually suspected of killing 300 people yesterday. 300 people in one shot, cut down with automatic gunfire. 300 people. So you got tragedies on the plane. You know, you got 300. You got schoolgirls who are now gone. Nobody knows where they are. Those girls have already been shipped off more than likely to different places. And they probably sold them like they said they would. Because there's a lot of perverts out there. Outside of the United States, where this particular thing is not necessarily a crime. And if it is a crime, there's not enough law enforcement to enforce it. Like here, plenty of law enforcement, and you can't bribe a cop in America. But over there, it's easy because the cop is making $20 a week. So it's easy to bribe a cop in some of these countries. So I think that, it's a sad situation. I know the president has sent some people over there to try to pick up the trail to find out where those girls are. Those girls are gone. They'd be lucky to find them because they've had time to ship them off to different places or sell them off. It's a shame. Just a shame. So... just stuff going on all over the country, all over the world. Just stuff going on everywhere. That's why you listen to Ron Kelly's show, because listen to me and listen to other talk radio personalities who are going to tell you what's going on. Because what's going on around the corner is not really that important. It's what's going on around the world. That's why you listen to me. It's the headquarters of Common Sense. It's the Ron Kelly show. So yeah, so the plane story is dead. President Obama and I in the beginning I thought he sent troops. He didn't send troops. He sent a logistical team, some FBI agents. I thought he just sent the bomb squad over there, which is what I expected him to do. But he didn't do it. And again, the president's too careful. Too careful, Mr. President. Sometimes we got to take a risk. Sometimes we have to take a risk. We don't know. I think that for the most part, the plane story is dead. And there's no talk of looking for it anymore. I guess they've just written it off in the 200 and... some are passengers, kids included, that were on that plane. They're no longer looking for the plane. The search, I believe, has been called off. if it hasn't been, nobody's talking about it. Let's see. Because apparently they don't know where to look. Because the plane... the plane had lost contact with Vietnam 14 minutes. I mean, it was 14 minutes. The plane had veered off course for 14 minutes before the people in Ho Chi Minh City alerted the Malaysian authorities to tell them that the plane was missing. Where's the plane? So 14 minutes is a long time when you're doing 600 plus miles an hour. Which that jet does. So, we don't know what happened, and nobody's talking anymore. So I guess they've just written the people off. And that's it. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back with more of the show. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. On blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, crunchy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, that's me. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Right here on blogtalkradio.com. How's everybody doing? Looking forward to a great Mother's Day weekend. The weather forecast for the Northeast. The New York metropolitan area is supposed to be spectacular, so all the mothers will come out in their finery on Sunday. You know, the big hats. My mother used to wear, she's no longer here, used to wear a big hat. My mother had the biggest hats, you know, like the flying nun. You think she would just take off one day? You know, biggest hats. She would wear those hats even when it wasn't Mother's Day. She would wear those hats. Big, humongous hats. So you couldn't sit behind her in church because you're not going to see anything. And most of the ladies, for the most part. So, you know, shouts out to the mothers. Father's Day will come along next month and nobody will care, as usual. Or July, rather. June or July. Nobody care. Mama's baby, papa's maybe. That's what they say. So everybody will be, everyone will be putting it down for moms this Sunday, the 12th of May. All right, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. I still got a few more things to go over. I don't even want to talk about the Benghazi, you know. I don't even want to talk about that. I'm not even going to talk about Benghazi because it's just totally ridiculous. You know, how the Republicans, the kook fringe, you know what, I'm not going to go into it. The kook fringe, psychopathic Republicans, the do as I say, not as I do, control freaks, who are now forming, a committee to investigate Benghazi. That was 2 years ago. Now here we go again. No, nothing's going to bring those people back. No. As Americans, we all mourn the loss of life of anyone who was trying to uphold the principles of this country. The Libyan ambassador and three of his people were killed in the raid on the compound, the embassy, United States Embassy in Libya. And now, and we get it, you know, liberals and Democrats, we get it. We get it. But that was 2 years ago. It's over. So what is this committee, I mean, with so many other things going on in the United States of America, why do we need to go back? All right, I said I wasn't going to talk about it. I lied. Why do we need to go back to this? It's not going to bring those people, those poor people back who passed away. The whole idea is it's a smear campaign against President Obama. And like I said to you guys last week, the week before last, it's early attack on Hillary Clinton. Because this is where this is all going to fall down to. She's going to be named, and you know they're going to try to use this against her when and if she runs for president. They're going to use it against her. We all know that. So that's what this whole thing is about, this Benghazi nonsense. You know, payback. You know, older president lied. He's about to leave. And if he did, so what? It's just nonsense. The Republicans, again, just pitiful. Just pitiful. Just absolutely pitiful. It's sad. Sad day in America. All right, it's about 13 minutes before the hour. Everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. You know, shout out to Mark Jackson, got fired, Los Angeles Clippers. What a mistake that was. I mean, Golden State Warriors. They don't know what they're doing. All right, now, speaking of basketball, now we all know, and I'm not talking about basketball per se, but we all know what happened with Donald Sterling, you know, the Clippers owner who was taped by a super hot girlfriend that he has. Mexican and African American, I believe her lineage is. And when he told her not to bring black people to the program, to the stadium, and not to take pictures with Magic Johnson or any other black people. And you see, there's a reason why the NBA acted as swiftly as it did. There's a reason. And, you know, it wasn't about outrage. I mean, yeah, there was some. I can't say that there wasn't. There was some outrage by NBA, and you know, of course, there was people all across the country who were outraged as well, especially African Americans. But see, the thing was, the reason why the NBA acted so quickly was because the players had threatened to strike, and they were going to walk off the court. And this is playoff time. You can't have players walking off the court, not during playoff time. And the players had threatened to walk off the court. So if you're wondering why, you know, the NBA moved so fast, it's about the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the bottom line. And you can't – this is the playoffs – this is the time when the NBA makes most of its money, advertising, and, you know, seven games. You know, they play at least four packed stadiums times however many people who are in the playoffs. So there was a lot at stake here with the with the decision. So don't think that the NBA just moved so fast because they were so outraged about what was said by this Donald Sterling about black folks. No. They were trying to stop the bleeding, because if those guys would have walked off the team, they would have walked off the stadium, out of the stadium rather, it would have been hell. Because now the playoffs are over. No finals. No second round, because this happened in the first round. So no second round. No finals. That would have been horrible. Billions, hundreds of millions, if not billions, would have been lost by the NBA. So, you know, banning Donald Sterling was a no-brainer. Okay, fine. He's only one person. We got a league to protect. So, boom, he was gone. Now, I'm not saying that the NBA was acted solely based on money, but I would say that 99% of it was based on money. This is the playoffs. You've been paid for this. TV networks paying for the privileged channels. Now, you have all kinds of TV networks, TNT, ESPN, all of these big sports companies that that purchase the rights to show these games. What do you think is going to happen if there's no games? They have to get their money back. Hundreds of millions of dollars. So that was, like I said, it was, I don't know if it was 100% the problem, but it made a hell of an impact. It made one hell of an impact. So now the wife, this guy had a girlfriend and a wife. He had it going on, I'll tell you that. The wife is saying that she's not going to give up her half of the Clippers. I believe the wife owns half. Will get half if something happens to him, or all of it. But the wife is saying that she's not giving up her part of the Clippers. See, the wife is throwing him under the bus, basically, because she says that whatever happened with him has nothing to do with me. So she's like tossing him under the train with the quickness. So he's already under the train because she's already come out and said that that has nothing to do with her. And she claims to be part owner of the Clippers. So if that's true, just like income taxes, you can't blame one spouse for the sins of another. So what will probably happen is that she may wind up with the whole team. And I'm sure he'll still be getting something out of it somehow, some way. They'll figure it out. So just crazy. But anyway, it's a few minutes before the hour. We're going to break up out of here and we'll do this weekend thing. Thanks everybody for showing up to Friday afternoon and getting with me. We need to get these numbers up, everybody. So tell a friend, tell a coworker. The Ron Kelly Show is on blogtalkradio.com Friday afternoons at 4 p.m. sharp. Be here or be square. And Wednesday night is the PNB Show, the Princess and the Bad Boy Talk Radio program, featuring clinical psychologist Dr. Susanna Flores. It's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Right back here on Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/princessandthebadboy. You can get us that way. To get the Ron Kelly Show, it's blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. Well, you already know that if you're here. Who is the Godless Ape? Somebody keeps logging in the Godless Ape. In and out, in and out, in and out. Oh, anyway, it's about 6 minutes left of the program. So, yeah, here we go. A lot going on in the world today. Lots of stuff going on. And happy to bring it to you, as I always do on the Friday afternoon. Hillary Clinton, maybe the president, next president of the United States. First woman president. Wow, wouldn't that be... wouldn't that be great? Stage from the Cuckoo Birds. The savers from the Cuckoo Birds called the Republican Party. North Korea has joined the rest of the racist element of our society by calling President Obama a wicked black monkey. North Korea's state news agency, CNA, resorted to sickening racist language to lash out at Barack Obama this week, calling the U.S. president reminiscent of a wicked black monkey. The editorial, which also called South Korea's President Park Geun-hye an old prostitute, wow, was published in English during Obama's tour of Asian nations. Another KCNA article from that same day, this one in Korean, took the ugliness even further. According to North Korea blogger Josh Stanton, the second story said Obama should live as a monkey in an African natural zoo, licking the breadcrumbs thrown by spectators. The article also calls Obama a crossbreed with unclear blood. Now, crazed diatribes are nothing new for KCNA, but the Washington Post notes it's rare for the agency to be so outrageously savage against a U.S. president. Well, you know, it's rare that we have a black president, so even the Koreans are racist, some of them. Even, you know, some in North Korea, I mean, they you know, just, you don't know what to say. This guy really is a kid. He's in his 20s. Father died, left him the country. Thank God we have a democracy, but we can vote for the person that we want. Not have some clown like this Kim Jong-un, unbelievable idiot, making racist remarks against President Obama. But this, you know, if there's ever another black president, he's going to go through the same thing. Even if it's 100 years from now, if there's ever going to be another black president, he's going to go through the same thing that President Obama's going through now. You see, and people, and you can hear him in 2008 saying, oh, well, you know, racism is over. We have a president who is black. We have a black family in the White House. Michelle Obama and the kids, Sasha and Malia, Mrs. Robinson, First Lady's mom, taking care of kids. We have black people in the White House. And everyone, you know, everybody gathered around the campfire and sang a version, sang a chorus of Kumbaya, thinking that it was okay, and we were all right, it was fine. And no, it's not. The racism has jumped. Hate groups have increased under Obama, and I'm not saying that he, you know, he's responsible for it, but when Obama became president, it brought out the worst in a lot of those races. Because you know, he going back, President Obama had to get security in 2006, 2007, when he first announced, he had to have security right away. They had to protect him. They knew somebody was going to try it, which thankfully so far they haven't. But yeah, a wicked black monkey. And see, and from now until the end of time, black folks will be associated with primates. That's never going to change. That's never going to change. Black folk will always be associated with monkeys and gorillas. And it's going to be like that till the end of time. We'll be associated. We'll be called monkeys. We'll be associated with monkeys. We'll be called descendants of gorillas and apes, which people already think that we are. Sad situation. Anyway, everybody, we'll see you back here next week for another exciting edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, take care of yourselves. And remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you Wednesday night. It's the PNB Show featuring Dr. Susana Flores right here on blogradio.com Wednesday night. So until then, everybody, take care of yourself and respect each other. And the R is out.